This is Mountain Man Nutrition Podcast, and I am Jeffrey Hipschman, professional chef and nutritional therapist practitioner, focusing on reversing type 2 diabetes and other chronic disease. We are coming to you from Denver, Colorado, and it's awesome snowy today, and we have a guest, Ashley Cohen from Fitness Versus Food, and Ashley's a friend of mine from the Nutritional Therapy Association. She and I spent time in Minneapolis, Minnesota together three different weekends with the other 40 people in our class learning about how to do the functional evaluation, which is the only, it's really key to finding out where the inflammation is in the body, where the nutrient inefficiencies are, nutrient deficiencies are. So it's great to have Ashley on the podcast, and she's super knowledgeable, and I hope you enjoy listening to her tell us a little bit about fitness, about nutrition, and about chopping wood. Have a great podcast. Right on. This is Jeffrey with Mountain Man Nutrition. We're back for another podcast, and we have a super awesome guest this week, Ashley from Fitness Versus Food, which I'll tell is a friend of mine. We went to nutritional therapy school together and have been in contact since because she's an awesome entrepreneur. She really knows her nutritional therapy, and she's my go-to when it's all about fitness and exercise. Ashley, welcome to Mountain Man Nutrition Podcast for the 15th time.
Thanks, Jeff. Hopefully we can get it taken care of this time.
Right. Full disclosure, we've tried this a few times, and with my awesome technical ability, we have never been able to publish. So, Ashley, let's good wishes for a good podcast and technical efficiency this time.
All the positive vibes, I feel them.
Right on. So Ashley, your Fitness Versus Food is your business, and you have a blog and website and the whole deal. You're a nutritional therapy practitioner and a professional fitness coach, which you've been fitness coaching for a long, long time. How can you give us a little background, a little story about how you got into all this?
Yeah, so I have always been athletic. I graduated from Purdue with a degree in movement and sports science. So I have been working as a trainer since I was in college, so longer than I want to admit that I've been doing it. So I've been personal training at gyms across the country. I've worked in a lot of different places, from Chicagoland area to Denver to Kansas, Florida, Mississippi, and now I am actually working in Minnesota. The nutrition has always been a part of it because we all know that you can't out-train a bad diet. So no matter how many times I spent time telling clients that, I knew that I had to give them the other piece. There's more pieces to the puzzle than just that. Lifestyle plays a huge factor in it. And that's kind of what springs me to everything that I do, is that we need all the things in balance. You can eat healthy and you can live a good lifestyle, but you need exercise and daily movement. Like, you need all three pieces to work together in harmony to feel your best. It's kind of like a triangle for anything else. All the pieces of the triangle need to work together.
Right on. Your history is just like mine. As a chef, I've traveled all over the United States, lived a lot of different places, and even a few other places in the world. And as a chef, you just go in and get a new job pretty easy. But as a fitness instructor, nutritional therapist, you have to rebuild your business every time, huh?
Yes and no. It really depends where you're working at. I actually am really lucky because the gym I work out in Minnesota is I don't have my own clients. We all share clients. We have members at our gym, and they schedule the train, and I work like a straight schedule. For all the trainers out there, I go in at about 5:30 and I leave at about 1:30, which is very, very unheard of in the training world. I actually get paid a salary, which is really crazy too. But as a trainer, when you move, yes, it is starting your book of business all over again. Which can be very challenging. Or if you're like me, it's just a way to meet new friends and you just make it work, because that's kind of how I've done it for years. You just find ways to make new friends and build relationships and show them that you can support them in whatever you're doing. And it applies to nutritional therapy. It applies to training. It applies to like any kind of sales or professional job you do. if you go out there with the right attitude and you show that you have the information to provide, you're going to attract the people that want to work with you. So it's always worked really well for me. And I'm just lucky to work at a place now where I show up at work and my clients are going to show up and I don't even have to manage my own schedule when I'm there.
That's awesome. That is unheard of in this, any kind of health field industry, is you don't have to build a book. You just walk in and it's there for you. Congratulations on that successful venture.
Thank you.
Awesome. So is it true, because it's the new year, right? And everybody's making resolutions and the fitness world and health world. Are you seeing that like huge jump in people, you know, coming into it at the beginning of the year because it's a new year and they make these resolutions? And are you seeing this trend? Is this true in your life?
So it's definitely true at like regular, bigger box style gyms. We get some intake, but because we work in a specialized studio, no one just comes in to work out where we work. When you work out at the gym I work at, Functional Fitness, you work with a coach, whether it's in team training or in semi-privates. No one just comes in and works out. I mean, we do allow our members to have open gym, but you have to be a member and you have to be training with a trainer to be able to do that, which is really great. We do get a lot of new people that are interested in checking out the gym. So we have a lot of people trying it out for the month of January to see if it's going to be a long-term thing. And we will convert most of those people to members, because as much as you think you can do it on your own, accountability is huge. And having someone that's going to make sure you're showing up and checking in with you on your goals and checking in with your nutrition and seeing if you're sleeping 8 hours a night, you know, it's nice to have that person there. And whether, even if you're an expert like me or Jeffrey, like, it's nice. We have people that hold us accountable to what we're doing too, whether it's fitness or nutrition related as well. So we're checking in with coaches and professionals as well, because you can't be your own coach. I mean, to really get the results, you need that thing that's going to push you to the next level. And sometimes that isn't always coming from within. Even, you know, even Michael Phelps has a swimming coach. Like,
that's right. Yeah. And it's true for me too, is I need, especially at the gym, I need to be checking in with people. And then, nutrition wise, it's always great to surround myself with other, nutritional therapists, be talking to people on the phone or online, or even as simple as listening to podcasts, keeps me on point and, listening and focused and on track of what I'm doing. So it's definitely a benefit, just keeping in line with my focus. Yeah. And keeping,
I totally agree. And being surrounded by like people, like if you want to be healthy and you want to make these changes and you're only hanging out with people who don't work out and eat McDonald's every day, like you're not surrounding yourself in the right environment. Like, environment is the biggest battle. When I, like, even as a nutritional therapist, I work on people on environment before we even start making dietary changes. I mean, obviously the dietary changes come with the environmental changes, but if your environment doesn't set you up for success and you only have Coke in your fridge and you don't have water, how are you ever going to make the change to water if you only have Coke to offer yourself? Like, we have to change the world that we're living in to encourage those kind of behaviors.
That's right. And this whole optimal health paradigm, we don't go on diets, you know, and I don't coach people reversing type 2 diabetes or getting rid of fibromyalgia or their joint pain or whatever their chronic issue is. It's not a diet that I put people on. It's a lifestyle change. And so it's a slow game, and part of that lifestyle change is diet. Part of it's sleep and lifestyle and turning the computer off and the Wi-Fi off at night and getting movement, whether that's walking around the block with the dog or getting into the gym and getting a powerlifting coach, whatever that is for that person at that time. But it's a whole lifestyle change, and it doesn't have to be changed all at once. Right. So how do you coach people? What's the first thing that you do with this lifestyle that you walk people through right off the bat?
Well, one, I really want to talk about diets only because, like, I am like doing, I even tell people I'm doing a diet right now, which, guys, I hate the word. I really do. But I'm doing an autoimmune protocol, which is like a lot of elimination foods to find out what my body performs the best with. But the only way I know how to describe it to other people is a diet. But my diet means I can't eat pepper right now, black pepper, which that whole thing just was making me laugh so hard.
Is it black pepper or white pepper also?
All the peppers.
All peppers.
All the peppers. It's pretty miserable, but I'm like however many days into January. I'm like halfway through with my month and then I'll start reintroductions. But sometimes it is testing and being kind of miserable with trying what it is. But I don't go crazy like that with clients to start. A lot of times it's just looking at their normal behaviors. I like to, like my first two places I start with is how much water are you drinking? How many diuretics are you taking in? Can we adjust those numbers and get you in an optimal area where you're getting enough water and I'm not making you give up the sun, the moon, and the stars, your coffee, because like I would never do that to someone. But also then like, how are you sleeping? Are you using your phone? Like bedtime routine and getting optimal amount of sleep is also like, I won't get you to change your diet if you're only getting 6 hours of sleep, because it doesn't matter what I do at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're going to crave crap. Like sleep is so important. It's so much easier to like get 8 hours of sleep or be in your bed for 8 hours, maybe not sleep, but be in your bed in that relaxed state for 8 hours mm-hmm. for you to make better choices the next day. It literally applies right into that. And I see it time after time. If I can change a client's sleeping pattern and their behaviors around sleep, that it changes a lot of behaviors that just go in your life. If you get 8 hours of sleep, it's really easy to make it to the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning. Like it snowballs everything. Like sleep is really one of my gateways for everything. So that's where I start with a lot of people.
I'm on the same page as you. I'm always coaching about sleep and I am seriously focused on my sleep. I like, you know, okay, wife, please go downstairs and finish your work because I'm in bed now. Good night.
Yeah.
You know, it's, yeah. I'm intense about it because I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I got a 2.5-year-old and I wake up normally before he does, right at 5. And I need to be on my game because I got a lot of stuff to do and I want to be there for him, as well as, you know, transition from being with the kids right into work and then, you know, right back into being with the kids. And one of my main focuses is having the energy and the brain focus to be able to be a great father and a good husband at the end of the day.
Exactly. And I mean, sleep impacts like you're making it through the end of the day. Do you feel like you need to take a nap? Like those are all things that like feeling like you need to take a nap every single day is not okay. Like it's not a normal thing. Like, I mean, I could take a nap if I lay down, but like, I don't feel like I need to. I go to work. I'm like you. I'm up early. There are tons of times that I leave my boyfriend on the couch and I go upstairs to bed by myself because it is bedtime. Like at 8 o'clock, I am getting in bed. Like yeah. That is what I do. And it's habit and routine. And it's, I read and then I go to bed and I don't even read on my Kindle anymore with blue light blockers. I like read in bed with my in a book to paper. And it has been extremely helpful in creating that routine and whatever that is, maybe it's a nighttime skin routine and that kind of stuff and getting yourself into the habit, diffusing essential oils. Like there are so many things you can do to create this positive routine to make these changes long-term that feel good when you do them. It's really crazy because, that's starting, but like if you want to take it to the next level, like where can you go from there with the sleep routine is like, sorry about that, is moving into, now my computer rings. Is what can you do from there? Like, okay, I'm sleeping. I have a nighttime routine. Where do I go next? Well, next would be, well, what are you doing in the morning? Because, you know, so often we're talking about having a routine at night, getting into bed, spending those 8 hours. But what are you doing in the morning? Are you constantly snoozing or your alarm goes off and your feet hit the floor? And that is something I drive a lot of my clients to in the gym and out of the gym is, you know, when your alarm goes off, like you need to be out of bed. And I highly suggest your phone on airplane mode on the other side of the room, because if it's on airplane mode, nothing's going to wake you up and nothing's going to disturb you. And two, when your alarm goes off, you got to get out of bed to go get it.
That's right. Yep. Or if you're really focused, you don't even have to set an alarm. You just wake up the same time every day.
Which yeah. I wish I had that. I just still can't get it.
So let's move right into fitness. Reversing type 2 diabetes and why, or insulin resistance or any metabolic issue that you have, or even if you're seeing in the last 3-6 months or last year that your A1C has crept up a little bit. Why is fitness and getting in the gym or walking or exercise, why is it so important? What happens in the body?
So it is going to help with the use of the insulin. So your body will actually start being able to use it and create what it needs and not overproduce. But a lot of times, you know, it goes to like, why are we having this surge? Well, a lot of times when you start at the gym, you're also going to change your diet, which is really crazy. They kind of go hand in hand. So it actually just diet and exercise together are going to make the biggest impact. That's why we don't just recommend one without the other. But it's going to change how your body is using and has it and how it's using insulin and what it has going on. Obviously it's going like, there's tons of other like benefits for exercise, lowering blood pressure, better control of weight, like which, you know, for a lot of type 2 diabetics, weight is a struggle, improving energy, sleeping better, like all the things we were just talking about. But as a diabetic, it's even more important because we're trying to regulate our blood sugar. And how do we regulate blood sugar? Well, we have to use the sugar that's in our body. If we're not using the sugar, then our body's like going crazy and doesn't know which signal to listen to. Well, exercise, great way to output the sugar and the energy and use it for good to help manage and help our pancreas do a little bit better on some insulin production.
Yeah. I try to tell the simplest way I tell the clients is when you exercise, you burn up all the emergency glycogen that is stored in your muscles, and then your body wants to automatically replace those. So what's it do? It pulls the sugar out of your bloodstream to replace it. You know, and this is great because then this blood sugar leaving helps you manage your insulin. Yeah, so I think it's an easy, like super simple, and maybe a little too simple, but it's gettable. You know what I mean? Like I want to burn off that sugar in my body.
It is really simple. Like if for anyone, like type 2 diabetic or not, if you're eating it and you're not using it, it's going somewhere.
That's right.
Like, and it's going to like, it's going to store it. I really hate to bring it somewhere, nowhere that you want it to.
Right.
But you will store it. So important to be using the energy that our body, like if we're eating, we're going to crave those things. But also like, and I do so much reading about this and like gut bacteria and what goes on and like how your body craves. If you have bad gut bacteria, it's going to crave foods that are going to produce excess amounts of insulin. So like if you have bad gut bacteria, you're going to crave Doritos and you're going to crave sugar and candy, and then you can't stop, but you're feeding that bad gut bacteria. And it's, here you go, like snowball effect again, everything's being affected by it. Whereas if you are eating vegetables and healthy fruit and you know, you're getting good fats in and eating some protein, you're going to feed the good gut bacteria. And then your problems are going to minimize and hopefully kill off that bad bacteria. Like it's crazy. Like you think of like blood sugar and like, you know, as NTPs, we talk a little about like blood sugar or digestion. Who is the bigger, you know, who do we want to help first?
Right. And
I swear I'm always like digestion number one, because if we can help you with your cravings, then we can help you feel better faster. Because if you're craving sugar and you keep eating it, well, there's not much I can do. We just keep eating
that. You're in a lot of trouble.
And you're in a cycle that we can't get out of. But if we start changing our diet and making those modifications, it's going to help with our blood sugar levels, and it's going to help with our insulin. We're going to help, energy levels are going to improve. We're not going to have these ups and downs and big spikes, and your gut's going to feel better. So that's where the weight loss is going to start happening too.
Absolutely. And I really love the gut bacteria conversation, because a lot of people don't know, like the gut bacteria talk to the brain more than anything. Like there's a direct contact between gut and brain. It's like, there's even books about it now, the second brain is in your gut. So these bad bacteria, you know, craving and wanting food that you're feeding are sending messages to the brain. And this can cause emotional and mental cravings and, just really trigger you. So we want to feed, you know, the good bacteria. So they're talking to the brain more.
It is. Well, you know, you eat sugar or anything sweet, it's going to light up the dopamine in your brain, which is going to release dopamine, which is in the pleasure center of your brain. So it's going to release pleasure. And that's why you can't stop eating it once you start. Like it's lighting it up and saying, eat me, eat more, make me feel good. I want to feel good. And you know, it's hard to stop. And that's why so many foods are become very, very addicting, because our brain says, oh my gosh, I just want to feel like that over and over again.
That's right. And, you know, as a definite recovering food addict, I really get that. Carbohydrates, sugar, pasta, you know, I used to crave that. I've told this in this podcast many times, I used to run from fast food restaurant to fast food restaurant at 360 pounds, you know, just getting my favorite dishes, or, you know, buying ice cream and hiding it from nobody, because there's nobody around to hide it from, but this craving and weird behavior because, you know, of the compulsive emotional issues that I, you know, I just compulsively wanted all the time. And you know, it's something you have to fight at first, you know, until you can get it out of your system, you know, and stop eating it and replace it with healthy fats, I find is the best way to combat the emotional part. It is when you're satiated with healthy fats, it really helps to stop any kind of sugar or carbohydrate craving.
Okay, so I got a great question. When is the last time that you had fast food?
Oh, God. Okay, I eat every now and again, I eat Five Guys burgers. Like, I'll get a Five Guys burger in either the lettuce wrap that you can get, or you can get it like on a bed of lettuce and onions and tomato, and then I get the mushrooms and fried onions and stuff on top. So I will do that. And I do that, and I like them because they don't add any kind of crappy fat or any kind of bad oils to the burger. So, you know, like, sometimes that's fast food, and I'll do it. And I'm, yeah, you know, it's there, it's the highest quality fast food I think you can get. Yeah. And it's real meat, as far, yep, as I understand it. It's real beef, and it's not, yep, like a McDonald's, whatever the beef they put in there for you.
A question mark. Is it beef? I don't know.
Right? It's up for grabs. So yeah, no, I'm you know, you can't restrict yourself so much that it's, you know, you're miserable, you know, but you just pick and choose and do the highest quality food that you can. And if you're going to do a fast food thing, you know, Five Guys Burgers is the fast food to do, as far as I know. Do you have any other options that you would use up there?
Well, I live in a town that has a McDonald's and a Burger King, and I'm not going to recommend McDonald's or Burger King for anyone. Right. But I do believe that, like, if you're in a pinch and you need something and that's your option, I mean, you can get a salad. I would not use their salad dressing. I would get salad dressing on the side, and I always carry, like, you know, I always carry some olive oil, and, like, you can get the Casadrinos has little travel packs. I always keep a couple in my purse, and I'll just olive oil and ask for a lemon, and olive oil and lemon, and I put it on my salad. And, like, if I'm really in a jam, I'll do something like that. But, like, my go-to, like, fast food is, I love Whole Foods Hot Bar. When you're in a city that has Whole Foods, but, like, remember, a lot of their stuff, like, just, people are like, Whole Foods, everything's healthy. That's a lie. Canola oil. You watch out for that nasty canola oil. I read the labels. I read what's in everything. And I can make there, I at least have some variety. And if I don't feel comfortable with the choices, I can make a salad, and I can buy some deli meat, and I can put it on my salad because I know it has deli meat that I'll actually eat. And, you know, I can have a salad. Like, yep, that's kind of my go-to. And I'm not even a salad eater, but, like, I am, like, one person. If I'm in a jam, like, I can always eat a salad and it'll be okay.
Yeah. Little known secret, I was a associate team leader for the prepared foods department in Whole Foods in La Jolla, California for a while. And then I moved to Maui with Whole Foods. And I'll tell you that fried chicken and macaroni cheese are the two biggest sellers that Whole Foods has on their hot bars. You know, it's a grocery store with health food options, and they do have some great options, you know, and they do sell good organic, high quality food. But if you think you're going to walk into Whole Foods and eat whatever you want, because they're a health food store, you're out of your mind.
That's the thing. You really have to know, and you have to learn. But, like, the same thing, people like go paleo. And they're like, well, I'm eating a paleo cookie. It's fine. I'm like, no, you're eating a cookie. A cookie is a cookie. It doesn't matter if you put paleo in front of it. You're still eating a cookie.
Right.
There's some still kind of sugar in there. There's like still like, okay.
Honey.
How many almonds make that much almond flour? So like how many almonds are you eating in one serving? Like, and obviously like I'm totally down with eating almonds, but like eating 25 is like a serving. Like in half a cup of almond meal, it's got to be like 100 almonds. Like that's how much flour is made. So like, should you really be eating like 200 almonds per cookie? Probably not.
Yeah. Or are you eating 6 cookies, right? With 2 tablespoons of honey per cookie. Like,
exactly. Like in kind of, sometimes you got to look at it, not saying like, I don't eat cookies ever. Like,
right.
I love a cookie. Like, don't get me wrong, but you know, obviously I'm going to pick a paleo cookie over a regular cookie, but because I believe in those benefits and I don't tolerate wheat, but like, it's still a cookie. Like I understand that it's still dessert. I can't eat dessert every night after dinner. There's repercussions for that.
No, I make keto style cookies from actual nut butter and not nut flour, but actually use nut butter as the base and egg and a little bit of erythritol because from my own testing, it doesn't spike my sugar so much. So we use that in some vanilla flavoring and hemp hearts, which I think are awesome.
Awesome.
So yeah.
Okay. So I totally detoured off us off the fitness talk, but I am going to bring it back. Sorry guys, I go off on these tangents and I can't help myself. But like being like just starting fitness, especially new year, like I want to talk about like getting started in the gym in general, whether you are diabetic or you are dealing with insulin resistance or, you know, hey, I just think I need to go to the gym because it's good for me.
Yay.
I highly recommend finding a professional to work with. Like, you don't know what you're doing. It's your first time in there. Find a professional. And I mean, I have alphabet soup after my name. Like, what do I know? Ask them questions. Ask them if they're going to have a program for you. What will be in the program? What kind of exercise you will be working on? What will you be doing? And I mean, there's a lot of buzzwords that people use, but I want you to be working with someone that has a program for you. Like there is a written plan that you're going to follow every time you go to the gym. Otherwise they're just throwing darts at the wall. I don't guess when I make the nutrition recommendations. I don't guess when I put someone on a workout plan. I know what I'm putting them through.
Right.
Having a plan is important. Making sure they're giving you, they're putting you through some kind of movement screen before they start working out with you. I use the functional movement screen or the FMS, but having them check to see your mobility. Like they're not just saying, okay, meet me at the gym at 5 o'clock on Friday and we're going to do, and they put you through a workout and they've never seen you do a squat before.
Right.
Like I don't tell someone to do 12 squats if I already don't know that if they can't, I don't know if they can do a squat or not. Like I don't test while you're working out, I test before. So like they should be setting up like a meeting beforehand to get to know you, find out where your goals are, find out where you're at, and like do some kind of movement style screening. I highly recommend don't just go somewhere and like meet with someone and let them put you through a workout. They don't know, like they're not paying attention to all the things that are going on.
Right.
Your workout should have pieces. There should be like some, like a warm up, like where you're loosening things up. That doesn't necessarily mean like static stretching, like old school type stuff. That's for the end of the workout, but like you should maybe be using a foam roller, getting some activation drills, like kind of, you know, no weights, maybe some bands, that kind of stuff in your warm up. And then you're going to move into like, I like to do like core activation and stuff like that personally for my clients, and then move them into like power style movements. But not everyone does that, but like there should be like sections. Okay, I'm going to do strength, and maybe we end you with some energy system stuff, meaning like a cardio finisher. Like,
right. So I start out with 2 to 5 minutes on a rowing machine for my warm up. What do you think about that? Is that a good thing to do or a bad thing?
Or I'd like to see you foam roll and maybe do some like hip and shoulder mobility stuff before you get going, and maybe some ankle mobility since with your ankle.
Got it. Yeah. Kelly, you promote like full body workouts. Like if I'm going to hit the weights, like I do heavy weights, 8 reps, 3 sets. And I normally do 3 exercises in a row. I'll do 1 exercise like bench and then curls and then you know, shoulder lifts or something else. I normally do about 8 or 9 different exercises. I do intagents of 3, you know, and then 3, okay. 3 sets of no more than 8 because I'm lifting heavy that particular day, but I hit every body part in one workout. Is that something that you recommend, or are you recommending something different?
I guess it depends on the person. Like, for general overall fitness, how often are you going to the gym? Should you have an upper body day? Should you have a lower body day? Should you have a upper body push, lower body pull? There's so many options when it goes to programming. Like, and again, like nutrition, it's very bio individual. It's one size fits all. Like, there's no one size fits all. Like, I'm going to design based on what I feel like you need, where your weaknesses are, where you're at. I really personally love 8 reps for reps. I'm like huge into hypertrophy, especially this time of year. 3 to 4 sets of 8 to 10 reps. That's going to be strength, building some muscle, but nothing super crazy where it's super heavy, where you're only doing like 3 to 5 reps. I think that's a perfect starting range. And if you're really a beginner and you really want to see 3 sets, 12 reps, lighter weight, like light to moderate weight, that's a great place to start. And then, like, if you're, you know, dropping your reps, you should be increasing your load. So if you're doing 8 reps, maybe a little heavier, so maybe moderate. And then, you know, if you're at 8 reps, it's moderate to like heavy, but not like sub maximal that we're like, we're not looking that heavy.
Right. Right. So, you threw out an awesome term there. Hypertrophy. Say it.
Hypertrophy.
Wikipedia that for our audience.
Okay. It is basically getting the blood flow into that muscle and making it grow.
Yay.
Is that good? That was that enough. And I'm sorry you guys are missing it. There's a lot of hand gestures while I'm talking to you. But so hypertrophy is a great way to
make you look good after your workout.
I mean, you are going to get the pump. You are going to get a pump. But I love it for like compound style movements, like a squat and a press. There's so many variations. But for someone that is doing total body, I kind of like to look at my workout this way. Maybe you're doing total body and you're training 2 or 3 times a week, which is totally legit, people. Like, don't think you can't get results 2 or 3 times a week. You're going to get more results 2 or 3 times a week all year round than you are if you're going to go 5 times a week for 1 month, and the next month you're not going to work it at all. By the end of the year, the person that trained 2 or 3 times a week every week for the year is going to have a banging body, and you may or may not, depending on what month you decided to work out and not.
Like, right on.
Over time is way more important than like going ham for in February to look good for spring break in March. Like, as a former college girl who did this, it will not be successful long term. Okay, but for planning out your workout, I'm big into, like, you're gonna do total body, lower body exercise, so like a squat, upper body exercise I would pair with a pull, so like a row or a pull up or a lat pull down. And then I might pair it with like a core exercise or potentially something to get your heart rate up. So maybe I would go on the rower for 2 minutes, or I'd bike for 2 minutes, or speed step ups, you know, some variation there, or maybe a core exercise. Then I would do lower body, or I'd do that would be my first set. And then I would do another 3 exercises. I would do another lower body. So our first one worked squats, which is going to be quad dominant. I would do a like deadlift, which is going to be like posterior chain. It's going to work your hamstrings and your glutes. Then my upper body movement would be like a push. So either a shoulder press or a push-up, and another like core, or you could do another like endurance type exercise. And then I might finish it out with 1,000 meters on the rower for energy systems. It should take, you know, 5 minutes or less. Well, for me, it should take less than 5 minutes.
Awesome. So a whole workout, you're saying 30, 45 minutes or so is enough, huh?
Oh, I am like 40. If I can't do it in under an hour, you can't expect me to do it.
Right.
I am huge. I understand, like, especially these days, like, time is everything. Like, if you know, you fitting it in is a priority. If you can fit it in here, if you can't fit in 30 to 45 minutes twice a week, show up 10 minutes every day.
Yeah.
I don't care what the movement it is. It could be 10 minutes jumping on your rebounder. It could be 10 minutes walking through the park. It could be a 10-minute Tony Horton video. I don't care. But again, like, consistency over time, like consistency with your diet, consistency, like, and not like what you're putting in your body. Like, those changes don't happen overnight. Like, day by day, you have to work into them. So for example, I'll use like result that I like had thought I was going to be getting. I'm still dealing with a couple things that I haven't cleared up.
You're starting to freeze up.
Of that. Like, I'm not quitting. I'm not, well, I've been doing this for 2 weeks. Why has nothing changed? Well, sometimes when you've had so many things in your body that have inflamed it for so long, your body needs more than 2 weeks. So right. You've got to give time. You've got to give your body time to heal. You've been doing whatever to it for decades or, you know, maybe less, maybe more, but give your body time to catch up with what you're doing. So maybe you're doing a protocol and, you know, the first 30 days you don't get results. Maybe give it 6 weeks. Like, it, you might need a little bit more. And that's okay. We're all a little different. So, you know, finding your rhythm with what you have going on, being it working out, making changes in the kitchen, changing your sleep. Like, the person who told you that it takes 21 days to create a habit is a liar. The average is like over 66 days. I've taken a class on like habitry, and it's all about habit forming. Like, it takes over 66 days. Some habits take you less time to learn. They're easy. How to tie your shoes. You do that every day. It's a habit. You're going to tie them when they're on your feet. But like other habits, like creating a new workout routine, only shopping the perimeter of the grocery store. Like, you've ingrained those habits in your life for so long. Like, you have to make changes, and change is hard. Yeah. But if you're ready for it, you can prepare yourself to make these changes.
I start out teaching one of the healthiest habits I can get people to do is turn the TV off and sit at the table and have a relaxing meal with no distractions. This is difficult because most people are riding in their car eating, or they're standing up cooking for the kids while they're eating, or they're in front of the news or Seinfeld in watching TV, right?
Here are all of my arguments on all of these things. One, I don't know when I'm not sitting down at home eating a meal at a thing with no distractions. Like, it very, very rarely happens in my house. I mean, sometimes it does. But that's more like when I'm having like pizza and stuff. Like, I'm not sitting at the counter. We're sitting in the living room watching a movie. And yes, guys, I do eat pizza. But like, for the most part, I eat at my counter. But like, one of the things you heard, like, standing at the counter eating while you're feeding your kids. Why aren't your kids eating what you're eating? Like, that is one that parents, you guys are all rock stars. I don't know how you do it. I watch people do it day in and day out, and you guys are like superhuman and totally awesome. But if it's bad for you to eat X thing, canola oil, then why are you feeding it to your children?
Yeah.
Like, and the take, like, chicken nuggets and like kid food, like, right. If you're feeding those to your children, but they're not healthy for you to eat, are they healthy for your children to eat? And I want us to start thinking about it as a culture. Like, your kitchen is the heart of your home. Like, it really is. I basically live in mine from the moment I walk in my door, like the moment I wake up in the morning to I walk out my door for work. Like, and when I get home from work, I'm in there most of the afternoon. Like, I love my kitchen. It is my peaceful place. It is clean. I clean it at night before I go to bed. So when I come downstairs in the morning, it's clean. Every time I walk into it, it's picked up. I like that. It is important to me. And like, making your kitchen someplace that you want to be and you want people to gather in will encourage you to want to eat meals in there. It will encourage you to want to share this moments with your kids. Yep. Instead of you cooking dinner for them, you know, if they're the right age, bring them in, introduce them to some stuff, there's some great kid knives and kid stuff that they could be doing in the kitchen. Yeah. And even if it's, you know, that you give them some like homemade Play-Doh and you let them use cookie cutters and play in the kitchen while you're cooking, you're introducing them to that space.
You know what? Max, 2.5 years old, he stirs the eggs, you know, on the hot stove because he knows, he's been taught the stove is hot, don't touch it. But he sits up, I put him up on the counter, and he could sit and he could stir the eggs, or he could stir the soup, or he whisks the eggs for me. Or when we make cookies, he stirs the batter. You know, when I make different things, he's always up on the counter cooking with me. And at 2.5 years old, he knows what to touch and what not to touch. Don't touch the knives. He doesn't touch the knives. He doesn't touch the hot stove. But he could stir into the hot pot, you know, and because he's been taught. Kids can be taught and learn, and he loves cooking with his daddy, you know, and it's super fun. And Ayana gets involved as well. My 9-year-old, she likes to make stuff sometimes too. So it's a great place for kids.
And it's, you know, we use dinner as an excuse. Well, I work all day and then I have to cook dinner and I don't have this time to spend with my kids. What if your kids spent time with you doing something you were going to do anyways, like that's cook right. dinner? Like, you know, one of our NTP friends that's been on the podcast, Tiffany, like her kids live in her kitchen with her. Like,
she's yes, got four.
Yes, she does. Four girls. She is, oh, like what I mean. But like, she takes them in there and she lets them. And one of her daughters has, like, there are children's recipe books and one of her daughters makes recipes. And Tiffany sent me one and I'm like, I can't even make this. Can you send her over and tell me how to do it? Like, you'll be so amazed what your kids are capable of if you give them the chance and like yeah. let them take ownership. Like, there's also this really great farm that I follow on Instagram. It's called Five Mary's Farms. They have they also have four daughters. Maybe it's the theme for me. She wrote a book. The mom wrote a book called They Can Do It. And it's about how they transitioned from living in Silicon Valley, doing everything for their kids, to moving out to the farm and finding out everything their kids are capable of. Because when you're on the farm comes first. You have to feed the animals before you feed yourself. And it was interesting to see their kids kind of transition into like all of this, their parents doing everything for them, to now they can do so much on their own. And we just have to give them the power to be able to do it. It's so, so cool.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So a little bit about diet and nutritional therapy, and what do you have going on there? You're an entrepreneur. You've built this new nutritional therapy business alongside your fitness, and you have fitness versus food. So what do you have going on with inside a nutritional therapy practitioner?
So I have been fitness versus food for a while now, because even before I was a nutritional therapy practitioner, I actually am a precision nutrition level one coach. So I am certified PN1. So I have been fitness versus food for a long time, because I believe there's this constant battle between working out and eating food, and I have to work out to burn it off. And really I'm looking for, you know, the life that happens in between. Like, how do we find like a piece where we're at and what we're doing. But what I have going on is, in January, I'm beta launched a new program. It's called, Refresh and Reset. So 90-day, nutrition and lifestyle program. It deep dive into like health history, find out where you're at, biweekly coaching calls on Zoom, unlimited access to me asking questions, personalized plans, so many really cool things. That isn't listed on my website, but you can schedule calls with me already to schedule, to get started with it. I also have a month-to-month coaching program. So it's exercise only, and I do a weekly Zoom call. Everyone can hop on. On the Zoom calls, I don't just talk about exercise. Actually, these four people, I never talk about exercise on my Zoom calls. If they wanted to talk about exercise, they have three workouts a week. I think in February, I'm actually going to go to four workouts every week that they'll have access to. But it is weekly calls are about 30 minutes. I talk about all the things that I found important. We've talked about sleep. We talk about, actually last night was all about essential oils. So really getting them on board with like how to make this part of your lifestyle and not just, I work out, but I don't do anything at home. I do, take clients one-on-one for nutritional therapy in, Morton in Redwood Falls, Minnesota. But I do remote sessions as well too. So I do a whole variety of different things, fitness related. I do still do custom programs for distance clients, but, I'm really big into the month-to-month coaching. You're going to get everything that you need for warm up to cool down, along with these great weekly touch point calls that I can't always offer, for, you know, to make time and everything work it for what it costs for a personalized program. I can't always offer like one-on-one calls. It gets a little crazy, but this is a great way to have the opportunity to get that coaching time on those weekly calls. So
awesome.
Lots of fun stuff.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Where can people reach you if they are interested in having your services?
Well, you can always find me at, on my website, fitnessversusfood.com. You can send me messages there. Otherwise, fitnessversusfood@gmail.com or on my favorite place, Instagram.
Yay.
Ashley_Keough, KEOUGH_NTP. I'm sure Jeff will include it in the show notes.
Yeah, sure.
Good luck. One day I might get married and then I won't have to worry about that because I'll have a last name I won't have to spell out.
One day, and then you'll be
4 years, guys. Don't worry.
Then you'll have four redheaded kids running around your kitchen.
Probably not. They'll be like towhead blonde.
You got a farm. You'll have a bunch of boys. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. No. Well, we'll see. Yes, we do have a farm. I don't have any animals on it. I currently grow nothing. Currently, I just have a lot of land that means a lot of work.
I think you're farming firewood, aren't you? You cut firewood like every day.
We cut a lot of firewood. We have a outdoor wood burner for our house. So we have to load our stove to keep our house warm, which my mom thinks is insane. But what I have found though, like I grew up in a house where I didn't do outside chores. Like I didn't do anything. Like we had to cut the bushes and it was like pick up the scraps. Like, and it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Doing hard work is so outside at your house, on your property is so valuable and so good for your body. It is rewarding. Like it's become one of the more rewarding things. Instead of spending Saturday in front of the TV at our house, we spend our splitting wood or doing work outside at our property. Like
it's the ultimate functional fitness.
It is the ultimate functional fitness. Like it really is. And one day I hope at least that we'll have a couple cows out in the back pasture, but you know, I'm not trying to be high maintenance yet. Okay.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you being on the show. Sunshine. Thank you for being on Mountain Man Nutrition.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. And hopefully if everything goes well, we'll actually be able to publish this one by some year. Right on. Thanks a lot. And I will talk to you soon. Hey, this is Jeffrey with Mountain Man Nutrition again. And if you like the podcast you just heard, tell a friend. Share it on Facebook, share it on Instagram, share it on Twitter, wherever you can share it, tell somebody who can benefit from it, because that's why I'm here and that's why I'm doing this podcast, is to benefit as many people as possible. Millions and millions of Americans have suffered from type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance, and continue to suffer. So if we can benefit them, in any way, shape, or form with this podcast, I want to do that. So please share it with your friends. Get on iTunes and give me a 5-star rating if you liked it, 5 stars. And then write a little blog about it or a little say something about it so other people can find it that you're not sharing it with. You know, the more people who listen, the more benefit we can do for others, and you can be a part of that. And I'm asking you to be part of that. So let's share this podcast as often as possible. Thank you very much, and good wishes to you.